Good morning, Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotionals. Today's passage is Mark chapter 4, verses 13 to 20. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Amen. This passage is really amazing because we get to hear Jesus explain the parable of the sower. This parable, as seen in verse 13, will allow us to further understand other parables. Let's go through this together. First, the sower sows the word. Who is a sower? Well, in its ultimate sense, Jesus is a sower. God himself made the word manifest to us through Jesus. But the sower is also anyone who shares the word of God, pastors, teachers, missionaries, but also everyday people like you and me that share the word with those around us. It's interesting because normally if we hear a sermon and we don't understand it, or if we didn't really connect with it, our first response is to attribute that to the preacher. But Jesus is challenging this notion by asking us to examine our own hearts. How well are we listening? How well are we receiving the word of God? There are four different places where the seed lands, and the location of it will determine the success of the blooming seed. There are three negative responses and one positive one. Firstly, the path. When the seed, the word, falls on the path, Satan immediately takes it away. He takes away the word when they hear it. This is Satan's main point of interference because, more than anything, he doesn't want the seed to take root in a person's heart. What does this kind of heart look like? Well, this heart is completely closed to Jesus and is uninterested in hearing him out. And this disinterest disables them to hear from him. It's easy to attribute this path to people like the Pharisees who openly opposed Jesus and even claimed that Jesus was possessed by Satan. But Satan is deceitful in his ways and can easily take away our desire for God by distracting us. Sleep, social media, Netflix binges, busyness, chores, mindless scrolling through the internet, these are just a few things that feel better in the moment, but in actuality take us away from a growing hunger for God's word. These things, in and of itself, are not bad, but when it's left unchecked, can really be an open door to hardening hearts where the word just gets snatched up. A practical application is to take a fast from whatever is prohibiting you from receiving God's word. I've done several fasts from streaming services and social media, and I realized that my weeks where I was open and ready to hear from God and made time for him, versus weeks that I filled my time with endless scrolling, entertainment, and long naps, it was like night and day. If any of these things hit home for you, perhaps you can start by committing to eliminating these distractions today. Secondly, the seed falls on rocky ground. The hearer whose heart is like rocky ground immediately receives it with joy, but they have no roots in themselves. The ground is shallow, and so is their faith. Having no root in yourself could look like the following. Instead of claiming your faith as your own, perhaps one is rooted in their parents' faith or their environment or a charismatic leader or movement, rather than being rooted in the Word of God. It's evident if you're like rocky ground when tribulation or persecution arises. Jesus is at first trendy and awesome. Rocky ground people love Jesus for his miracles and his message of love and grace, but when trials and temptations come, they give up quickly. They are unable to endure as they did not sign up for any hardship. Their view of Jesus is really shallow. He is merely a good teacher, like a genie in a bottle who can bless them and give them good things. But when you start to talk about commitment, denying ourselves, and taking up the cross, the shallowness of the faith is revealed. Thirdly, some hearts are like thorns where the seed is able to grow, but so does everything else. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things enter in and choke the word. Essentially, this heart is just too crowded. The thorny heart has too many things that are just as important as Jesus, like comfort, security, status, social reputation, and it causes anxiety and worries. Essentially, it's simplified to this. Jesus plus everything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. A thorny heart is like a heart that is being ruled by a committee. All these different board members come into play, like the social light you, the child you, the private you, the career you, etc. And when we hear the word, we invite Jesus to have a place at the committee, but we hold his view as equally important as others. When in reality, what should happen is that Jesus should be the sole ruler of our hearts. I remember Pastor Barry preached a few years ago about how the thing about a living sacrifice is that it is always trying to crawl off the altar. We need to give God our whole lives, not just some parts of it that are convenient to give, but we need to surrender it all. Like it says in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And now, finally, for the good soil. A heart that is like good soil has three parts to it. One, he hears the word. We must first hear the word. Come to a place where you can regularly hear the word of God. Quiet times, devotional sermons. So if you're listening to this right now, that's great. One of my favorite apps right now is this audio Bible called Dwell. Its interface is similar to Spotify, and it has reading plans and topical playlists with a wide array of background music and voices. Sometimes I just keep this playing in my room, or I like to listen to it on longer walks. Second, a person with good soil accepts the word. We must not only hear it, but accept it. When trials, tribulations, and persecution comes, allow the word of God to ground you. When worries of life come, allow the word of God to guide you through with peace. When it comes to desires like money and status, allow the word of God to teach you about stewardship and God's economy and his business. When it comes to your personal desires, allow the word of God to shape and align your desires with his. Accepting means believing it, even when you do not see. It means not just knowing it in your mind, but being transformed and renewed by the word day by day. And lastly, a person with good soil bears fruit. How do you know which soil you are? You can tell if you're good soil if fruit is produced. Abide in him and you will bear much fruit. Fruit looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It looks like obedience. It looks like righteousness. It looks like repentance. Those with hearts like good soil will harvest 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold, and this is a promise that Jesus gives to us, all from a single seed sown into our hearts. Let's draw near to him today, even when we don't understand. Let's lean into Jesus and grow in our yearning for his word. And Jesus granted the disciples the secrets of the kingdom, and this is available for us too. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that this is the promise you have for those with good soil, that fruit will be there, that it will be produced. And we pray, Jesus, that you would help us identify the different ways where sometimes we are like just the pathway, sometimes we are like the rocky path, sometimes we're like a thorny path, God. But we want to be good soil, and help us, Lord, to come to a place of repentance before you. Help us to be moldable and open. We want to be people that are set apart by hearing the word, accepting it, and bearing fruit. And so, yeah, Lord, help us to surrender all of our hearts to you and to really grow in our yearning and desire for your word, to remain and abide in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.